The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Yunkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles, chiefly from the Harvard Health Letter of January 2021. And the first article is entitled, Reset Your Schedule, Reset Your Health. Schedule shifts can hurt your health. The new year is a great time to hit the reset button. Throughout most of human history, the pattern of daily life was regular. Dreary for many, but regular. In recent centuries, modern life has introduced many irregularities, including changing work schedules. Advances in information technology mean that many of us are always connected, and that we spend time connecting at all hours. And the COVID-19 pandemic has introduced whole new irregularities into daily life. One thing is certain, when your schedule changes, you can lose the regular self-care routines that keep you active, eating right and managing stress, things we need to control weight and inflammation and fight disease, says Dr. Monique Tello, a primary care physician and health lifestyle specialist with Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. Sleep schedules. Are you recently retired and reveling in newfound freedom to go to sleep and wake up at different times each day? Or are you working, often putting off bedtime to write one more email? An inconsistent sleep schedule throws off your circadian rhythm, the body's internal clock. If you go to bed before your circadian sleep time, you'll have difficulty falling asleep. Stay up too late, and you'll likely wake up before you're fully refreshed. Either way, an irregular sleep schedule leads to difficulty getting sufficient sleep, causing chronic sleep deprivation, mood and thinking skills problems, and an increased risk for heart disease, obesity, and diabetes, says Dr. Lawrence Epstein, associate physician with the Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. Meal schedules. Circadian rhythm also affects hunger and metabolism, your body's process of expending energy and burning calories. Ignore your circadian rhythm and you could experience more hunger and slower metabolism, an impaired ability to burn calories. Being at home all the time can disrupt daily meal schedules, particularly for working people. When you're home, you're closer to the kitchen, and it's easy to get a snack. Eating throughout the day means your blood sugar levels and insulin will be up all the time, and it's impossible for the body to burn fat. That can lead to weight gain. You need periods of time when you're not eating to allow your body to burn fat stores. Exercise habits often fall by the wayside when there are schedule changes. Sometimes when people retire, their workout routine gets disrupted, and they may not form a new one, Dr. Tello says. If you're working more hours, you may feel you don't have the time to exercise. One result, we've been seeing more people complaining of back pain and pain radiating down the leg, Dr. Tello says. It's from too much sitting, which leads to weak core muscles and pain. A lack of daily moderate intensity activity, like brisk walking, also hurts sleep, digestion, mood, thinking skills, mobility, stress management, and weight control, while increasing the risk for heart disease, diabetes, depression, and several types of cancer, particularly breast and colon cancer. Too much sitting is linked to premature death. Medication schedules. A change in your activities may affect your ability to stick to a medication schedule. I understand. Things happen. You may get caught up in an activity and forget to take your medication, Dr. Tello says. Or maybe you've been prescribed a new medication with 4 doses per day, and you're not sure how to make it work with the rest of your regimen. But sometimes skipping even 1 dose poses health risks. For example, if you have Parkinson's disease and forget to take your pill, you may experience muscle freezing and be unable to move. Relaxation schedules. Downtime is often lost with changes in work or family responsibilities. This happens to a lot of caregivers. They recognize they need time to relax, but they don't have time or they feel like they don't deserve it, Dr. Tello says. But downtime is considered part of self-care. Doing activities that keep you centered helps ward off stress. Stress creates a cascade of events in the body leading to inflammation, high blood sugar, and high blood pressure. It can lead to cardiovascular disease and depression and other mental health disorders, Dr. Tello notes. Conversely, retiring can leave you with so much time on your hands you can't figure out how to use it in a meaningful way, which can also be stressful. What you can do. Take action when you recognize imbalance in your schedule. Reschedule your sleep. You sleep best when the time you sleep matches your circadian rhythm, Dr. Epstein says. Some people are born night owls, and others are born early risers. Figure out what you are, then go to sleep and wake up at the same time every day, so it works with your rhythm. You need 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. A regular wake time and exposure to morning sunlight will help your body adjust. At night, turn off electronic screens 60 to 90 minutes before bedtime. Light from monitors and devices can disrupt your circadian rhythm. Set a meal schedule. Aim for 3 healthy meals per day and 2 healthy snacks if you need them. Choose meal times in advance and stick to them. If it's hard to make the switch, keep a food journal to identify patterns and figure out where you're going wrong, especially if you've gained weight. Recommit to an exercise regimen. Having activities scheduled into your day will make you more likely to do it. You don't have to go to a gym. Try a home workout video. Go for a walk. Take a regular activity break, or get a standing desk if you work from home. Reconsider your medication plan. Take medications when you do other daily activities, like brushing your teeth, Dr. Tello suggests. Use a pill box. Set an alarm on your smartphone and ask your doctor if any of your medications can be prescribed in fewer doses. If possible, come up with a set of times when you're available, even after hours, such as between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., and let your coworkers know this is when they can reach you. Resist the temptation to break the rules. This is called setting work boundaries. Manage stress. A solid stress management regimen is essential, Dr. Tello says. It can be meditation, yoga, prayer, sitting outside in nature, or anything that helps you disconnect from stressful events or activities, pause and reflect. It should be something you do daily, even just for 10 minutes. Before you know it, it'll become a habit. The next article is called, Should You Crank Up Your Early Allergy Strategies This Year? And again, this comes from the Harvard Health Letter of January 2021. This is normally the time of year to think about taking medications to ward off spring allergies. Starting treatment about a month before the season which begins in February in some parts of the country, gives the drug time to achieve its full effect and prevent symptoms. But the pandemic may have you questioning that approach. Is an early regimen necessary if you're isolating and you're not going outside very often? The answer is yes. Even a short walk around the neighborhood, sitting on a patio, or simply opening the windows for fresh air could expose you to allergens, says Dr. Anna Wolfson, an allergist and immunologist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. The allergen effect. Spring allergies are usually triggered by tree pollen. If you're allergic, then when you breathe in pollen or another allergen, the body mistakes it as a threat. Immune system cells in the nose sound a warning, releasing chemicals that cause allergy symptoms, itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, a runny nose, congestion, or a sore throat from postnasal drip. As the battle is waged, immune cells call for backup to continue the fight. The longer your defenses are engaged, the worse your symptoms become. Use these in advance. To head off the alarm sounded by the immune system, Dr. Wolfson recommends that you use two medications about 3 or 4 weeks before you'd normally experience symptoms. The first medication is a steroid nasal spray to fight inflammation, like Flonase, which is also called fluticasone propionate. It's meant to be used every day, not just when you have symptoms. It builds up in your system to decrease inflammation and symptoms over time, Dr. Wolfson says. The key is using the spray correctly. People have a tendency to aim the spray up toward the bridge of the nose. You need to point it off to the side, toward your eye, to avoid the middle of the nose, which has a tendency to bleed when exposed to medication. The other medication is antihistamines, which counteract histamine, a body chemical involved in allergic reactions. I recommend a long-acting antihistamine like Zyrtec or Allegra. The generic name of Zyrtec is cetirizine. The generic name of Allegra is fexofenadine. They are generally taken daily. Most people can't tolerate Benadryl, which is also called diphenhydramine, because of very sedating side effects. Another thing to avoid is any drug labeled as a decongestant, since decongestants can increase heart rate and blood pressure and aren't meant for long-term use, Dr. Wolfson warns. Will these medications reduce the immune response to COVID-19? No, says Dr. Wolfson. Oral steroids dampen the immune system, but the amount of steroid absorbed through a nasal steroid spray is so small that it would not affect the immune response. And antihistamines block histamine receptors, but that won't block your ability to fight COVID. An added benefit. If your allergy symptoms are controlled, you'll be better able to discern signs of COVID. That's important because allergies and COVID share many of the same symptoms. A big difference between the two is that allergies don't cause fevers. They don't cause shortness of breath, muscle aches, diarrhea, chills, headaches, fatigue, loss of appetite, or loss of taste and smell, the way COVID does. You can imagine that if you've had bad allergies, you might not realize you have early symptoms of COVID, Dr. Wolfson says. It's better not to second-guess symptoms. Control your allergy symptoms, and you'll be more likely to recognize COVID symptoms. The article has a small sub-article which says, use these when the season begins. Once allergy symptoms season is officially underway, doctors advise using two more treatments. One is nasal saline rinses, which can be used as needed, and the other is antihistamine eye drops if you have itchy or watery eyes. These include a medication called Zaditor, Zaditor, or Patanol, Patanol, and both of these are eye drops. Other steps you can take, these pill-free steps may also help you manage your allergies. Keep windows closed to avoid allergens. Avoid going outside when pollen levels are high. Clean air-conditioned ducts and filters. And wear a mask anytime you're outside to block allergens as well as the COVID virus. But if you're outside and frequently lowering your mask when others aren't around, it'll be less effective at keeping allergens out. The next article from the Harvard Health Letter of January 2021 is entitled, Why Am I Itchy All Over? The potential causes may be hard to pin down. Here are some of the most common ones and what to do about them. Sometimes it's easy to know why a particular part of your body is itchy. Maybe you have a bug bite, allergies, or a visible skin condition like eczema. It's harder to know the cause when there's nothing obvious behind all-over generalized itching. It's the most common skin complaint in people over age 65, says Dr. Kenneth Arndt, a dermatologist and former medical editor of the Harvard Special Health Report, Skin Care and Repair. Potential causes. Generalized itching has many potential triggers. One is aging. The skin barrier doesn't work as well as it used to, and things that may not have irritated you before may now be absorbed in the skin and cause itching, Dr. Arndt explains. The skin also develops a somewhat impaired immune response. Reduction in fat and blood flow and altered sensory perception making it more prone to itching. Here are some other causes of generalized itching without obvious signs. The environment. Very hot, dry environments or lots of hot showers can make the skin dry and itchy, as can excessive exposure to sunlight. Lifestyle. Poor sleep, smoking, or an unhealthy diet may make the skin drier or more reactive to irritants. Neuropathy. Nerve damage that causes numbness, tingling, weakness, or pain can also cause itching. People with diabetes get neuropathy and itching, Dr. Arndt says. A pinched nerve, especially in the spine, may also lead to itching. Medication. Itching can be a side effect of some drugs, like hydrochlorothiazide. The brand names of hydrochlorothiazide are Esedrex or Hydrodiuril to treat high blood pressure. Even if you've been taking a medication that didn't bother you before, manufacturers can change the inactive ingredients, like the dye coloring, the pill, and that may cause the itch, Dr. Arndt points out. Underlying conditions. Itching may be a symptom of liver, kidney, or thyroid disease. Some types of cancers, like lymphoma, or iron deficiency anemia. Psychological conditions. High stress, anxiety, and obsessive compulsive disorder are common causes of generalized itching. For people with these conditions, symptoms of any kind, including itching, can be amplified, Dr. Arndt says. Allergens. Detergents, fabrics, cosmetics, dust, and plant pollen can cause itching from irritation. One can acquire an allergic reaction to anything that comes in contact with the skin, Dr. Arndt says. Diagnosis. When itching is interfering with your day, it's time to see your doctor. Teasing out the cause requires investigation. You'll need to be able to describe your symptoms, where they occur on your body, and at what time of day, and how long you've been experiencing them. Your doctor will consider your medical history, medications or supplements you're taking, and your lifestyle. It may be necessary to order blood work to check your blood sugar, red and white blood cell counts, and the function of your thyroid, kidney, and liver. If scratching your itch has caused a rash, bumps, swelling, redness, or lesions, your doctor will need to see that too, but this can be misleading. Sometimes the secondary effect of itching is misdiagnosed as the cause of itching. But if you've developed a rash, you might want to take a small sample of skin for examination under the microscope, which helps to diagnose the cause. Treatment. Getting rid of generalized itching starts with treating underlying conditions or changing your lifestyle. Taking too many hot showers? Reduce the number to a few a week. Make the water warm, not hot, and use bland soap, advised Dr. Arndt. If you're not already moisturizing your skin, it's time to start. Dr. Arndt recommends using an emollient, a mixture of water and oil, every day, especially after washing your hands and after getting out of the bath or shower. If your home is hot and dry, consider lowering the temperature and getting a humidifier. You should aim for a goal of 40% humidity indoors. When medication is the suspected cause of itching, you may need to switch to another kind. If it's a supplement, you may need to go without it for a few weeks to see if that helps. What if the doctor can't find any particular cause for your generalized itching? Then it might be chalked up to aging, and these medications may help. And they include medications like gabapentin or Neurontin, topical anesthetic patches or creams containing lidocaine, or antidepressants like selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. Also, exposure to ultraviolet light several times per week, which is called phototherapy, is sometimes used. Dr. Arndt suggests starting with the easiest methods first. Moisturize and humidify. Try an over-the-counter anti-itch cream that contains menthol. It feels cool, so you'll be substituting one sensation for another, but you won't itch. Next is an article entitled, Three Supplements That May Harm Your Heart. Labels on the bottles promise better health, but these supplements may wind up hurting you. Keeping your heart healthy requires a combination of strategies, like eating a healthy diet, exercising regularly, and managing stress. Adding a dietary supplement may seem like another means of protection, but be careful. Unlike prescription medications, supplements are often sold without evidence that they work or they're safe. There's no way to know what really is inside pills or potions, since the FDA doesn't evaluate whether the manufacturer of supplements is high quality, such as whether the pills are free from impurities. The following supplements may pose heart risks. And the first is red yeast rice. Red yeast rice is made from a type of yeast grown on white rice. The supplement contains monacolin K, M-O-N-A-C-O-L-I-N, which is identical to the active ingredient in the cholesterol-lowering drug lovastatin or Mevacor. Small studies suggest such supplements with high amounts of monacolin K may be effective, which may be appealing to people unable to tolerate statin drugs. But there may be a heart risk. You can't tell how much monacolin K is in supplements. Some products have little or none of the active ingredient, and others have the same amount as a low prescription dose. That may be fine if you're not taking a statin, but if you are, you could be getting too much of the medication, which can cause muscle pain, or even a life-threatening muscle breakdown that can cause damage to your other body systems. says Dr. Peter Cohen, an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, who studies dietary supplements, including red yeast rice. The next one is called L-arginine. L-arginine is an amino acid and building block of nitric oxide, a molecule that helps relax and open blood vessels. L-arginine supplements are marketed as a way to increase circulation, lower blood pressure, and promote erections. But there is a heart risk. People with heart disease should avoid L-arginine. A study of L-arginine's effect on heart attack survivors had to be stopped early after 6 people taking the supplement died. L-arginine may make blood pressure dip too low if you're already taking medication to treat the condition. If you're taking blood thinners, it may increase the risk for bleeding. And if you're taking ACE inhibitors, it might cause your potassium levels to spike. And the other one they mention is garlic supplements. Garlic pills promise to lower cholesterol levels and blood pressure. Studies are mixed about the effects on cholesterol, no matter if the pill contains fresh garlic, dried powdered garlic, or aged garlic. Small studies suggest garlic supplements may slightly lower blood pressure. Garlic supplements can increase the levels and effects of some medications for heart health, such as blood thinners, thereby causing bleeding, cholesterol-lowering drugs causing muscle damage, and blood pressure drugs causing dangerous drops in blood pressure. What if you're not taking any other heart medication? I don't know of any evidence that taking garlic supplements is better for your heart than eating garlic in food, Dr. Cohen says. So the best advice is talk to your doctor before trying any new supplement, and be sure to ask if a supplement will interfere with any medications you're taking. Well, it looks like we run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I sure hope you enjoyed it.